Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
What a week this has been. It seems as though there are more and more states that are beginning to realize, oh, Trump may have been right again, that this election was anything other than what should be above board. As we see the funding of the Soros companies and what they have done to our election system, something comes to mind that I want to share with you. It is a program that is called ERIC, E-R-I-C. It is in 31 states. Please look it up. Please check and see if it is in your state. ERIC is an election system that, quote, cleans the election rolls, unquote, so that they will be fresh as we start each election. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Does anybody realize or know that that company, ERIC, was created again with George Soros? So my question is, why is this man still around? Why is he still flashing his money? And why is he still interfering with America? That's the big question, I think, for this week. This is Karen Schoen, and you are listening to The Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. The Alliance has been very, very prominent in getting some of the education bills passed in Florida. Please go to the Alliance website. Check and see what Florida is doing and see if you can apply it in your state. That's what sharing is all about. That's how we learn. That's how we get to a better place, by seeing what others are doing and sharing that information and using it when we feel it is applicable. Believe me, we need election security. We need to know that our elections are free and fair, and that who we, the people, choose to be our leader is actually our leader, not what we have going on right now. Most of the time, this comes about because people are afraid to name who their enemy is. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to use the right names. Believe me, the left has no problem calling us names, and it is time that we begin to name and understand our enemy. I've asked Trevor Loudon, a friend who has put together some amazing books and has a new movie that I'm going to let him share with you, because not only do we have to name our enemy in our government, our enemy is all over the place. But if we don't know who they are and we refuse to say what they are doing, how do you fight an enemy that you can't name? Trevor, welcome to the show, and thank you so much. And thank you for everything that you have done. Please tell everyone where they can find you and where they can find those great books and movies, documentaries.
Thanks so much, Karen. You go to trevorloudon.com, and Loudon is L-O-U-D-O-N. So L-O-U-D-O-N, trevorloudon.com. You have to put that in the search bar at the top of the page, because Google has forgotten my IP address. So you put trevorloudon.com at the top of the page. And you're right in your point about naming the enemy. Imagine trying to fight World War II if we were never allowed to name Hitler or the Nazis.
That would have been difficult.
It would have been very problematic, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. So what do we do? How do we get people to understand who are they fighting? I have people telling me, rhinos. What's a rhino? They don't even know. I don't believe that we are fighting a fight between Democrats and Republicans anymore. I think we're fighting a fight between globalists and nationalists, people who believe in their country, who want their country to be sovereign, who want their borders to be protected, rather than those globalists who say, the world is my playground, and maybe I'll let you play in it if you're a good little person and you have the right scores. This is what we're seeing now. So who is our enemy, Trevor? What is going on?
Yeah, I think you're right, Karen. It's not so much a left versus right. This is a battle between people who believe that individuals are sovereign and rights come from God, so that therefore you live in a free society, a constitutional government, and you're free. You're free to do what you like, and you can't be bossed around by big government tyrants or anything like that. You live in a sovereign country. You're a free, sovereign individual within a sovereign constitutional country. That's what I believe in. And we are battling the international communists, the international Islamists, the international globalists, the people that believe that we are not free sovereign beings. We are part of the collective. We're either part of global Islam or global communism or just global, you know, world government type of operation. So the real battle is between those who believe that that we are sovereign beings with rights guaranteed by God, or we're part of a global, we're part of the collective and should do what we're told for the benefit of the collective. Those are the two opposing philosophies. And I come down on the individual side, and the globalists, the communists, and the Islamists come down on the other side. So anybody who believes that we are just part of a machine, that we don't have rights, we don't have God-given rights, is our enemy.
That is what we are fighting, folks. Why do you think, Trevor, they have just shut down individualism? And what does this collectivism really mean? You know, let's try to define some of the terms for our listeners, because I feel that that's where most people get stuck. We're hearing so much garbage from the mainstream media that, and nobody ever defines a word. They throw these words out all the time. We're this, we're that, we're homophobes, we're Islamists, we're whatever it is that they choose to decide that we're going to be. We're domestic terrorists, but they never say what we've done to get that label.
Well, you know, you see this with the vaccine mandates. You have Democrats, and not just Democrats, seriously proposing that for the good of the collective, people who don't want to get vaccinated should have their children taken away, be denied access to services, have their businesses shut down, or even jail. So this is, you know, an individual will say, a person who believes in individual liberty and God-given rights will say, I am a sovereign individual. I decide what goes in my body and what does not. There is no government mandate for forcing me to do anything. This is between me and God. This is my conscience. But we are seriously seeing forces in our society now who are saying that principle was out of date for the good of the collective. We must force this on you. And this is applied in taxation. This is applied in a whole bunch of other areas now. We're seeing this in if you deny global warming, you're an enemy of the people. If you deny the political orthodoxy, you're an enemy of the people. Well, we are losing our freedoms and our God-given rights, and the collectives and the tyrants are taking over. The Nazis were collective tyrants. The communists were collective tyrants. North Korea is an example of this philosophy. You're not an individual in North Korea with God-given rights. You are a tool of the state. And you are only worth anything when you do what the state tells you to do. So those are the two competing philosophies in the world. We've seen when collectivism takes over in the past, whether it was in World War II, Nazi Germany, and Soviet communism, or Chinese communism, or North Korean communism today, when collectivism takes over, life means nothing. The individual life means nothing. And so we are heading to that situation. Freedoms are stripped away, and our lives are only worth what the state says they're worth. That's a horrible, horrible situation to be in.
So we're being pushed back into a time where, if we remember this saying, whatever the government gives you, the government can take away as well. Yeah. To believe that the collective is more important than individual thought. What that means is the group whatever group it happens to be, becomes the dominant, and the individuals who are part of that group lose their identity because they are only identified by what the group does. So they are only as good as the group. Is that what we're being pushed into?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Karen. And you see this now with Joe Rogan, you know, got one of the most popular podcasts in the world, the most popular podcast in the world, I believe it is. And he had a doctor on his show who questioned vaccine policy. Now, Joe Rogan is being persecuted. He's forced to apologize. He has defied the group consensus. Well, it's not a group consensus. It is the leaders forcing that consensus on all of us. And he defied that. So if he doesn't apologize and renege and back down, he will be destroyed. That's groupthink. And we see that all over the place. Now, we know that if you say the wrong word at work, you can be fired. If you say support the wrong political cause, your business could be destroyed or targeted by the IRS. This groupthink is changing the culture and the politics of America. And if it changes America, the whole world is lost. The whole world will live in slavery. This horrible, horrible collectivism. Millions will die, and we will have North Korea all over the world with American surveillance technology. Imagine that combination.
That would be absolutely horrible, and a horrible way to live. And that's why reading the bills that are getting passed and holding your legislator accountable for some of the atrocities that you find in these bills are what we need to be doing. Where is the oversight? Apparently, it left the room. And we have to be the ones that are in charge of oversight. I was looking at the transportation bill, the infrastructure bill that just got passed, and I could not believe some of the things that 18 or 19 Republicans voted for. They voted for a cutoff switch in your car, which means if the government feels that you and your car are driving erratically, they can shut your car off. Isn't that exciting?
If you're driving to the wrong place, if you're driving to a Trump rally, if you're driving to a meeting somewhere that they don't like, the lesson of history should be never give government power that it shouldn't have, because they will always eventually use it against you. And this is right. You know, I'll guarantee most of those Republicans either didn't even read what was in the bill, or were bought off or paid off by some special interests to support it. You know, if we don't hold them accountable, we're going to lose.
Yeah, what I was going to say was, won't it be fun when that other thing that's part of this bill is that there will be cameras all over the place. They want cameras on everything. Now, do you think that they want cameras because you might be speeding? I don't think so. Of course, they are saying that they want cameras to make sure that you're safe, to make sure that everything is okay, that you know how to drive, excuse me, to add insult to injury, because they really do not want us mobile. That's really what this is all about. They do not want us mobile. Why? Because mobility creates independence, and they can't monitor you if you are in your car independently going someplace, but they have to. So what they will now do is, I don't think people realize this one either, there will be a mileage tax. How far did you drive? How much did you do? Where did you go? Oh, well, we have to tax that. Why do they have to tax that? Well, folks, they can't tax your electricity when you plug in your vehicle. How are they going to get gas tax if they eliminate gas? Think about that. So as they're eliminating, where does all of this money come from? We the people.
Well, that's right. You know, you've got Pete Buttigieg, who is the Secretary of Transportation, you know, the cabinet minister, the member of Biden's cabinet for transportation. And he wants to tax you for every mile you drive, because A, it's a revenue raiser, but B, it's monitoring you. You look at the things that make Americans independent, their financial stability, private sector jobs, their gun ownership, their mobility, all of those things are under mass attack because the globalists, the communists, the dictators don't want free, independent people. They want people who are dependent on the state at every level of their lives for their healthcare. You know, look at healthcare. People think socialized healthcare, free healthcare. Isn't that wonderful? But what if? See, what you're doing is giving the state control over your healthcare. And as you said before, Karen, what they give you, they can also take away. So you're a rebel. You organized a big convoy on the state capitol criticizing the government. Your daughter has leukemia. She's 7 years old. She needs treatment. What if the government decides she shouldn't have it? Ever use that power? You're 65 yourself. You have prostate cancer, and you can't afford private treatment. There is no private treatment left. So you're dependent on the state. Are you really going to organize that rally against the government? Are you really going to organize that letter writing campaign? Or are you going to be a good, compliant citizen and do what you're darn well told so that you get your healthcare treatment? What are you going to do?
Isn't that what's going on right now with the mandates? Many hospitals I have been reading have said they will not treat people who are not vaccinated. Why on earth would you want to be vaccinated if you already have a disease and the vaccine can counter that disease? Why would you want to take that risk?
Yeah, look, I have a family member who was told he is getting cancer treatment. He was told he would not be treated unless he got vaccinated.
That's simple. Disgusting. And this is what we are facing. And
when
this
you have government control over your healthcare, this is what you get. Only work this way. The reason the government wants to control your healthcare is not to make it cheaper. It'll make it way more expensive and way more inefficient. It is so they can control your choices, not just in healthcare, in everything. Because if the government controls your healthcare, they control your life. They have a big sword hanging over your head, and you better not be criticizing the government. You know, we have seen in this country where the IRS was weaponized to go against the Tea Party. We have seen how the FBI has been weaponized to go against people the government doesn't like. So if they get complete control over your healthcare, they're never going to weaponize that against people. They're never going to use that leverage to make you do what they want you to do. Of course they are. That's the whole reason for this program. This is why it was pushed by Obama and his communist friend, Quentin Young, Obama's doctor, a Communist Party member who came up with the idea of Obamacare. So it's all about control. It's nothing about public health. The vaccines are nothing about public health. They're about control. And if we surrender control over our bodies, we surrender control over everything.
Part of Dr. Malone, who was on Joe Rogan, what he was saying and what several other doctors have been saying also is that because of the vaccine and because of pushing the other treatments away in lieu of because of COVID, people were not being treated properly for things like cancer or heart or replacements, knee replacement, hip replacement. This is what that means, folks. This is how they manipulate us into doing what we want. And I believe that if the truth of the vaccine comes out, we will be seeing more and more and more deaths in the next several years because the vaccine took precedent over what should have been an advancement in yourself. If you had cancer, which was more important, treating a cold, which was what COVID was, or treating the cancer, which at that moment was life-threatening?
Well, see, and that's a great point, Karen. The other point in this is because legitimate treatments have been sidelined and medicine has been forced to adopt treatments like remdesivir, which is killing people, to push vaccines, which can be dangerous. you're creating a complicit group of people. Like in Nazi Germany, we know that the state controlled everything, so people had to follow on with what the state was saying. Now, when the Nuremberg trials came, many of those people were hung because they had done what the state told them to do. And they said, oh, look, I was only following orders, but that was not accepted as an excuse. And those people were still hung for that or sent to jail for very long periods of time. What we're creating in this country now is a class of people who are complicit in these crimes. So they know if they don't keep this scam going, if they don't keep this crime perpetuated, they might be held to account one day. So you actually create a class of people who participated in a crime who have to keep the crime going so they never have to face responsibility for what they've done. So that we have compromised hundreds of thousands of American health practitioners who have violated their Hippocratic oath and done harm to people. They knew it was harm, but they didn't have the courage to stand against it. So now they are complicit. They have compromised their conscience. They can now be manipulated even further. So this is the long-term consequence of what we're doing. It hasn't just affected the physical health of the nation. This has affected the moral and the spiritual health of the nation as well. And I actually think that's more serious.
I certainly agree with you on that one. Trevor, do you think maybe we can explain some of these terms so that people will actually understand what we're facing with this enemy? For example, we throw around the word globalist. What does globalist really mean? I say globalists are in both parties, but what does that actually mean? Can you define that for me?
A globalist is someone who doesn't believe in individual sovereignty or state or the sovereignty of nation. See, right now we are sovereign people in a sovereign nation, the United States of America. And it's split up even further by the wisdom of the founding fathers. There are sovereign states as well, and sovereign counties and sovereign sheriffs. So the power is spread down, the power is decentralized, and nobody can get so much power they can tyrannize everybody else. Globalists believe in all of that going. So the individual is no longer sovereign, the county is no longer sovereign, the state's no longer sovereign, the country's no longer sovereign. We are going to be ruled from above by a global government. So you can't complain to your city council, you can't complain to your sheriff, you can't complain to your state senator. You are told what to do by a global government based out of Switzerland or based out of Russia or Moscow or Beijing. You are a slave to a global system, the ultimate form of collectivism. All borders are gone. The rulers tell everybody in the world what to do. The whole world is run by a very few people. That's what globalism is. Sovereignty is abolished, and a very small number control everybody. That's a horror state. No freedom, no personal responsibility. You are a cog in the machine, and if you don't perform as you're supposed to, you'll be eliminated. That's the globalist future.
And the future also depends on controlling elections because they cannot allow certain people to be elected who might be spreading the new word misinformation about what is happening rather than towing the party line, which is this is what you will say, period. Yeah. So this is why this election, I feel, is this to me is the end of the road. If we do not choose the right people. And just because they have an R after their name does not mean they are the right people. We have to vet them. We have to look and see what their actions were before they got here. Or are they just hyping what we and saying what we would like them to say, what we would like to hear? Are they really going to act? Because this is the end of the rope. We are climbing into territory with the debt that is unbelievable. And very soon, if not already, our income is not enough to support our outgo, which means we will be in deficit spending for a very, very long time. And when people are in deficit spending, guess what happens? Things diminish. Things don't get repaired. Things don't get replaced. Things don't get advanced. We get stuck where we are because there's no money to grow. There's no money to grow, go forward.
So that's where we're heading. We're on the cusp. And I think you're right. The 2022 election this year is probably our last chance. And I encourage, we have to defeat the Democrats. That's absolutely a given. They are communists now. They are full-on communists. A lot of the Republicans are not a lot better, but at least there are some Republicans who are willing to stand against the Democrats, some very few. So this is about what's happening right now. There's a massive movement of grassroots people. We saw this was Canadian truck convoy. I see it on the ground everywhere I go. There are new groups springing up all over the place, Moms for Liberty, Republican assemblies, new Tea Party groups, etc. There's a real groundswell out there of people who want to take their country back. And this is our chance, 2022, to elect a whole bunch more Marjorie Taylor Greens and Lauren Boberts and a whole bunch less Kevin McCarthy's and Mitch McConnell's. This is the year that the grassroots can take back the GOP, the Republican Party. And so I encourage everybody, make sure you're registered to vote. Make sure your uncle and your cousin and your golfing buddy and your hunting buddy and the woman who cuts your hair and the woman who grooms your dog, everybody that you know has got to be mobilized to make sure we take the country back in this upcoming election. Elections make differences. There's a big difference between a President Trump and a President Biden. We're all seeing that. And this is our last chance, because if we blow this chance, there will never be another Trump. There will never be another Marjorie Taylor Greene. We will just have socialists, Marxists, communists, and globalists running us forever and a day from that point. Freedom will be gone forever.
Well, we cannot leave on that note. So, Trevor, will you stay with me for the next half hour and let's finish this conversation?
Absolutely.
Oh, don't go anywhere, folks. You're listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance, and my fabulous guest, Trevor Loudon. Trevor, tell everyone where they can find you.
Go to trevorloudon.com, trevorloudon.com.
Okay, don't go away, folks, because we're going to talk about Trevor's new book, where he is also discussing the other part of the enemy. We're not just facing political enemies. We have enemies all over the place. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL. and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. We are the voice of a nation, the American nation, that is. This is Malcolm Out Loud. I invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com, where the fight for liberty and justice continues. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. It is great to have you back. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education with my guest, Trevor Loudon. Trevor made a very important statement before, and I don't want to pass it by without elaborating a bit. He said, "Have you seen the empty shelves in your supermarkets?" Many of us living in Florida don't have experiences, and I'm saying the word yet. That doesn't mean they're not coming soon, because what is happening is we will be forced into a place where maybe you won't get food unless you're vaccinated. Maybe you won't get Social Security or Medicare or disability or whatever, any government program, unless you're vaccinated. This is where this is coming, and you'll get your little vaccine card, and you'll get your social credits for being a good person and getting vaccinated. That's where we're headed if we don't stop this, and that's why the mandates. Understand what a mandate is, folks. Go look it up. It is not, underline, not a law. It is a suggestion. We have to force them to define their words that they use on us. We let them slide absolutely too much, and we cannot allow that to happen. It is so important to understand what's happening, what's going on. I would suggest take a room in your house, take a closet, empty it out, get rid of everything that's in it, and make that your food storage closet. And do not tell anybody what you are doing. Keep it for your family, because when people are starving, and I do mean the word starving, things get very ugly. And we certainly do not want to experience that in America. Trevor, you wrote an incredible documentary, and you produced it, and you talked about another enemy. It's not just the government that's our enemy. You were talking about the church. Could you elaborate on that for us?
Well, we've just released the new movie, Enemies Within the Church, a two-hour documentary, very high-quality production. So Enemies Within the Church, you can get it at enemieswithinthechurch.com. And what it reveals is not that the church is our enemy, the fact that their enemies have penetrated the church. We're talking straight out communists who have totalitarians who have penetrated not just the mainstream churches, not just the Episcopalians and the Catholics and the Methodists and the Presbyterians, but have now penetrated even many of the large evangelical churches and even the Southern Baptists. And they're preaching what we call wokeism. Wokeism, you know, you've heard of the woke church. people who are awoke to issues of race and class and gender. Well, this is just the derivation of the old communist strategy of the Cultural Revolution in China, where they'd get people in groups and raise their consciousness of issues of class, issues of race, issues of gender. And if you were the son of a business owner, you would have capitalist privilege, and they would torture you, they would put you in jail. So what we're seeing now in evangelical churches is this woke movement that's promoting social justice, critical race theory, talking about white privilege. All of this is pure Marxism. All of this is communism. And it's been pushed through the Bible colleges. It's been pushed through organizations like Campus Crusade for Christ, which were now called CRU, which was once a very respectable Christian organization, and now is very heavily Marxist. What we're seeing, this movie exposes this as the most shocking thing you'll have ever seen on American Christianity. So it exposes what is happening to the churches and what we can do to bring them back into an Orthodox Christian framework. Because right now, the churches are becoming an agent of communism, an agent of globalism, and millions of people go to church every Sunday seeking a closer relationship with God, and they are getting filled with Marxist indoctrination. They're getting a closer relationship with Satan rather than God, unfortunately. And this movie, Enemies Within the Church, is out there. It's selling like hotcakes. It's been shown all over the country. We're putting it out there in 9 different languages. It's having a major impact, and I urge people to see it. It will shock you to the core.
While you are seeing that, go and see some of Trevor's other documentaries as well, and you will get a total understanding of what's happening. We've used the word communism, communism, communism. Can you define that?
Yeah, well, what communism is, it's not really an economic system. You know, people say it's just about sharing the wealth equally. See, we were given 3 institutions to govern us. We were given the church and the family and civil government. Those are the 3 institutions. And if they are all working together in harmony, we will be a free, happy, and prosperous people. But this is God's plan. This is God's plan for the earth. We have churches to lead us spiritually. We have families to commune with, to teach each other spiritual values and right values and Americanism. And we have civil government to protect us from criminals and foreign invaders, etc. Those 3 institutions are supposed to work together in harmony. Well, communism is ultimately satanic. It is about overthrowing all of those institutions. It is about completely undermining the family through the LGBTQ movement, through the radical feminist movement, destroying families. And we see that all around us. It is about taking over control, undermining and taking control of civil government, where civil government gets too big, it gets powerful, and it starts to take over the family and the church. And we're seeing that now too. And it is about destroying the church, disconnecting the church from God and perverting the church, not necessarily destroying the institution so much, but perverting it so it becomes an agent of the opposition rather than an agency of God's word. And we're seeing that too. The Marxism, the communism is coming into the churches. It's taken over most of the Bible colleges and seminaries now, just like it's taken over the universities and the labor unions before. So communism is basically ultimately satanic. It is the overthrow of the family, the church, and the state to create a total. They want to make the state God. So the state controls every single aspect of your life from birth to death. If anybody's read 1984, it was about a future society where the state controlled everything. And if you bucked the state, you would be destroyed. Well, that is what communism is, where we all live in a commune, a community. We're all part of the collective, but the collective must have its rulers. The collective must have its bosses. So it's a two-class society. It is the rulers who have an army and everybody else are peasants. And they can only achieve that horrible society by destroying the existing churches, by weakening and destroying our families, and taking over and co-opting our civil government. That's what communism is. It's ultimately Satan's plan to overthrow God in heaven. Now, we know he will not do that, but think of the misery that can be created on earth in the attempt to do that, and the unnecessary misery we are bringing to ourselves if we don't stand against it.
That's the key. We are bringing this to ourselves if we don't stop it. And that's what we have to do. So knowing about it is of utmost importance. Now, you made a very important...
You can't fight an enemy you can't name. That's why we did enemies within the church, because we name the names, we say the organizations and the individuals doing this stuff, and many of them are very prominent American Christians. But we put it, we show in their own words what they're doing. We show the associations. This is the most shocking movie ever done on American Christianity. And it's the most necessary movie.
You can see a trailer, you can see what the movie is about, but the most important thing that you can do is purchase the movie and share it. Have a movie night. Invite your friends over. And talk about it afterwards. We have to get past the spot that we're not going to talk about things that we feel are unpleasant. It does not matter.
This movie talks about the stuff. As one of our Steve Day said, he's a big commentator from the Midwest, said there are no sacred cows in this movie. None whatsoever. We talk about what has to be talked about. So people, and we're getting people buying 100, 120 at a time. Set putting them all around their churches, getting their pastor to watch it, holding showings. It's going like wildfire. And it's you can get it through enemieswithinthechurch.com. Just enemieswithinthechurch.com.
Okay, folks, that's your homework for this week. That would be a very, very important thing to do. Like I said, you have to share it. Part of the communist plan is to eliminate elected officials. They like regionalism. They have put in regional councils. They have put in NGOs, non-government organizations, and they direct these NGOs through donations like we just talked about with George Soros to do the bidding of what the communists want. Now, Margaret Thatcher said that socialism is great. Socialism, remember, the goal of socialism is communism. So I lump all the isms together and call them communism because that's what they really are, until you run out of other people's money. And I think that that was what happened in Russia. And to make sure that that does not happen here, a new program, well, it wasn't really new, but a program was pushed. And that program was called the Public-Private Partnership, which is nothing more to me than a funding mechanism using fascism, which is the government controlling the business, to be able to fund these insane programs. Am I in the right direction, Trevor?
Yeah, you are. And see, this is why the Chinese communists have been a lot more successful than the Russian communists, because the Russian communists ran out of money and they were only kept up because a lot of Americans were giving them a lot of money. But eventually it ran out and they had to go into a big retreat, not a full collapse, but a retreat, a temporary retreat. The Chinese understood you needed business to pay for their social programs. So they kept a lot more business. And that is a sort of, in technical terms, it's closer to fascism. You know, fascism, you know, so communism is where the government owns everything. They own the business, they own the media, they own the churches, they own the schools, they own everything. Fascism is where the government doesn't necessarily own everything. Some of it still stays in private hands, but the government directs everything and tells you what to do. So you still have a private sector that makes money and creates wealth, but then the communists tell you what to do with it. And that's really where America's heading. That's where communist China already is. But so we're sort of being seduced by a blend of fascism and communism right now. But ultimately, it will all turn into complete communism. And what you're saying with the private-public partnerships is very true. You know, my view is this. You have public, you have private, and they should not mix because they have very different agendas. Private industry is about making money, creating wealth. Government, public, is about control. And some of that control is necessary. You've got to control criminals. You've got to control foreign invaders. You've got to control prisoners, you know, lawbreakers. But when you combine the profit motive of the private sector with the control motive of the public sector, you get disaster. You get the public get screwed like you would not believe, because you have the complete lack of accountability of the public sector combined with the rapaciousness of the private sector, and it encourages the worst elements of the private sector. So basically the middle class, the ordinary person, gets absolutely ripped off every step of the way. To me, you have a public sector, that's your government. It should be very small, under constitutional limits, and everything else should be private. When you mix public and private, you get the worst of both worlds. You don't get the best of both worlds, you get the worst of both worlds. And so I do. Whenever I hear the phrase public-private partnership, I cringe, because I know somebody's getting ripped off somewhere.
And let us remember, let's take a trip down memory lane for a brief moment. Let us make sure that Rick Scott never gets anywhere near the presidency, because he is the one that brought the public-private partnerships to the state of Florida.
He
knows what he's doing. We don't need him as president.
I don't know if he does know what he's doing, because a lot of Republican people think, oh, we really believe in the private sector, so let's use the public sector to help the private sector. Let's, you know, and a lot of businessmen love this because they get government contracts, they get protection from their competition, you know, and so a lot of Republicans will sell these things as helping the private sector. It's an absolute scam. It doesn't. It helps certain corrupt elements, and it actually destroys the private sector in the long run. Just as you have churches now signed up to faith partnerships with the government, where you get money from the government for your church, but you have to carry out the government social programs, and you're not allowed to proselytize. You're not allowed to talk about Christianity. So you basically become an agent of the socialist state by taking government money. This is another way that churches are being corrupted and perverted.
I saw the other day when they were dropping busloads of people off, illegal immigrants or illegal aliens, as they were dropping them off in the state of Florida, they were taking them into the Catholic charities. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that's exactly this is one of the biggest scams going. The Lutherans, Catholics, and many other denominations are getting huge amounts of government money for settling refugees and illegal immigrants. So this is that the churches are making big money at this by helping to destroy the country, right? And the government takes heat off itself by saying, "Well, this is the church is doing this." And people think the church is great, so it must be okay. It must be moral. It's not moral, and it ain't good. It's very destructive. And so this is an example of a private-public partnership where the government gets the private sector, e.g. churches, to do its dirty work for it and give it a cover of respectability. This country's been destroyed by illegal immigration, and the mainstream churches are actively participating in this. They're bringing thousands of Islamic refugees completely unvetted into this country to form a future jihadi nation. And the churches are cooperating in this. Most American churches are no longer Christian. Most of them are now socialist. And they love private-public partnerships with the government because they get all the money in the world to carry out the socialist programs that they want to anyway.
Trevor, we're coming to the end of our broadcast, and I always like to leave people with a to-do list. We've talked about what we're facing. We've defined who these people are. What can we do about it?
Well, everybody has to make sure they're ready. The 2022 election is going to be pivotal. This is the election where the grassroots are rising up and can destroy the Democratic Party and take back the Republican Party. So everybody has to get involved, has to register everybody they know to vote and start getting involved in some of the new local groups springing up out there. Moms for Liberty, the Tea Party groups, the Republican assemblies, the grassroots of the Republican Party, if it's good in your area. Many areas it's good, many not so good. So the Trump clubs, there's all of these organizations. Defend Florida is another great organization that's doing a lot of good stuff on election integrity and other issues. There are many organizations out there that Defend Florida, Republican assemblies, Moms for Liberty. Get involved, get joining some of these things and start participating. A, you'll be helping to save your country for your children and grandchildren, and B, you'll meet some of the best Americans in the country, friends you will have for life. So this is the time to get off the fence, folks.
Absolutely.
If you're not fighting for freedom now, you're part of the problem. You are complicit. And we're all going to be held accountable one day for what we did and what we did not do that we should have done in this life. Now is the time to take a stand.
Join your precinct if you can. Go to the website called Precinct Strategy. Listen to the video that's there that was put together by Dan Schultz. Get involved. Remember what the Democrats are saying. They're saying, oh, look at those Republicans. All of a sudden, they're getting interested in what's going on in the election. How dare they? They're joining their precinct. They're going to be monitoring our election. How dare they do that? Well, guess what, folks? The Democrats already have their precincts filled. The Republicans, almost half of the precincts are not filled. And when they're not filled, they get taken over by the rhino globalists. So if we don't want that to happen, we have to ensure that it's not going to happen. We have to become poll watchers. We have to pay attention to the election and what's going on. Is Eric cleaning your voter rolls in your state? Why would you allow a Soros-funded company to do anything that has anything to do with an election? Are you still using the machines? Why are you doing that? These are things that we can control in our local areas. That's why this is so important. But on a bigger level, I am a person who does believe in a boycott. Why? Because my money is my money, and I want to have the choice of where I want to send it. And why would I want to send my money to AT&T when they are taking OANN off the air? That's called censorship. Why would I want to support a company that has anything to do with censorship? I don't have to use AT&T. I don't have to use DirecTV. I don't use Facebook anymore. I don't use Twitter. Why would I want to continue to give these people my money only for them to turn around and use it against me?
We are the majority. We have the money. We need to boycott every woke company, every anti-American company, everything, and spend our money locally with patriotic businesses. Get onto Patriot Mobile for your mobile phone. There is support Mike Lindell. There's a whole bunch of, with his pillow company. There's a whole bunch of things that we could spend our money on. Stop giving our money to the enemy. Give it to patriots. There are more than enough of us with more than enough money to take this country back if we're smart about it.
That's what's important. It's up to us. This is our country. And we can either be on the side of freedom, or we can be on the side of becoming serfs. And serfdom, that's not where I want to be ever under any circumstances. And the last thing in the world that I am going to do is give my money to a woke company. And I will give you a suggestion, folks. go and see if you are using a publicly traded company. Put that corporation's name in your search bar, DuckDuckGo, and then next to it, put ESG scores. Go and look that company up on the sheets from the stock exchange. You will find an ESG score on all of the major banks. That means they must be woke in order to be able to exist. Now, a bank that's woke, what do you think they're going to do? Who are they going to lend money to? That would be a good question. What do you think, Trevor?
Exactly. We've got to do our diligence. And when we interview our politicians, we don't just say things like, do you support the Second Amendment? They'll say, of course I do. Well, you say, what is the Second Amendment for? And if they tell you it's for duck hunting rather than protect the citizenry against the government, don't support them. We've got to actually grill them so they know the Constitution. The Constitution and the Bible are going to save this country. And we've got to know both, and we've got to support leaders who know both, not just glibly know them, but know them properly and understand them. If we have such leaders, we need fear nothing. We need never fear for our freedom again.
A leader is someone who faces an obstacle head on and does not create another obstacle to make sure that you don't see what's really happening. A leader will face the challenges. A leader will face what's going on the border and call it by its right name, an invasion. A leader will face what went on in Afghanistan and call it by its right name, murder. If we don't use the right terminology to describe what's happening, who will? We will allow them to define us, to put us in their category of us. That's not the way individuals work. I'm not a category. I am an individual, and that's where I will remain. Trevor, we have only a couple of minutes left. Tell everybody again where they can find you.
Yeah, just go to trevorloudon.com and go to enemieswithinthechurch.com, especially go to enemieswithinthechurch.com. Get that movie. You will not regret it. It'll be the most interesting thing you've watched for a very, very long time.
And share. Remember what I say all the time. Applying knowledge is what knowledge is about. If you have the knowledge and you don't apply it, who cares? Nobody. You have to apply the things that you learn. You have to use them. You have to share them. And you have to become aware of your surroundings and what's going on. Thank you, Trevor, so much for joining me today. It was a pleasure as always. And I hope you will come back because, believe it or not, there are more topics to discuss.
There are many more. Many more. We live in interesting times. So thanks for having me on, Karen. It's been a great pleasure. And we'll see you again soon.
Yes, we will. Folks, you're listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education, and we are brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Folks, I just noticed something. There are a lot of states that are doing bills right now, and the bills are saying parents' choice when it comes to school. Make sure in that bill that one of those choices is homeschool, because if the money should follow the child, it should follow the child wherever they learn. Get your kids out of those indoctrination clinics called public schools. It's time. Homeschool. That is the only way that your child will learn what is true, real, and being supportive of the values that you want, not somebody else's values. Do not allow anyone to determine your child's destiny. Have a wonderful week, folks, and we will see you again next week. But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America. Don't tread on me. I'm America. Yes, America.